This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Century you're living in today, for a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
These government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoiled hat
and put on the Kevlar.
It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. Remember to visit our website, agenda21radio.news. That's agenda21radio.news. Or you can take the shortcut, a21r.com. People are taking the shortcut these days. Also, newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com, and remember, we are on the heels of our second constitutional convention down in Irvine, California last weekend, and we were getting all prepped up for that right as we were speaking right now 1 week ago. It was an absolutely banner 2 days down in Irvine, California, and got a lot of work done. Working on our Constitution and other things to try and get to, well, actually achieving, winning, if you will, the new state of California, New California, the 51st state it will be. Anyway, I'm very, very happy to have with us Tana Gertz. She's a representative and been with the Trump campaigns 2016 and soon to be with 2020. She was at the Iowa, because she's from Iowa, at the Iowa rally earlier this week, and her website is HeyTana, H-E-Y-Tana, T-A-N-A, .com is her website, and she's welcome here on Agenda 21 Radio. She's been on here a couple times already, and we just wanted to check in to see what is really truly going on with Donald Trump on the new campaign trail, because obviously we've got the midterms coming up right now. And we want everybody to go out and vote. And, of course, we don't want to encourage the Democrats to go out and vote early and often because we know they're already going to do that. Anyway, so, Tana, welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. It's always nice to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me, Paul. I appreciate you having me back. It's always a great time to visit with you.
Well, you know, I was watching Facebook, and I was noticing you were there. You were in the crowd in Iowa. What was that like?
Oh, it was absolutely unbelievable. So I don't know if you know this or if we even talked about this the last time it was on, but there's a group of people called the Front Row Joes that go all around to every rally that President Trump has, and they set up shop and they camp out before the venue the night before. They camp in the parking lot and they're first in line to get in, be in first to get the Front Row Joe spot. And there's a group of them and they're amazing and they're just such great patriots. And so I look forward to seeing them at all the rallies, and I've given them VIP access, you know, every opportunity that I get. And so in Iowa, we were having torrential downpours. We had tornado warnings at this time, you know, the day before the rally, and they're out in tents. And my husband's a meteorologist, and I'm like, please, like, I know that, you know, you love the country and you love the president, but please be safe. Like, get the heck out of a tent. And they were like, oh, hell no. We want to be first in line and we'll do anything for them. And that was just the beginning of what I witnessed at that rally. It was unbelievable.
That's just an amazing perspective. People don't get or understand that even now he is president. And as Will Johnson always says, tomorrow when we wake up, he's still going to be our president.
Right, exactly. And so that was just like, he did that, honestly, 36 hours, it seemed like, before the rally, even the doors opened. So he was a soaking wet mess, or they were a soaking wet mess. I had to park my car, walk from my car to the VIP access entrance, and I got wet, and I felt like I looked like a drowned rat. But these people were in the elements camping for him. Everybody that was in the line, and there was 10,000 people that got in, the line was honestly forever. It wrapped around the largest arena that I'd ever seen, and the people in the lines were soaking wet. They were in that line for 3-4 hours. And it was so unbelievable that these people, I mean, some people won't cross the street for a buck. These people were waiting in line, or they cross the street to get a job, actually. But these people waited in line for hours, getting soaking wet, leaving personal belongings out front of the venue that Secret Service wouldn't let them take in, like an umbrella, like a jacket, expensive raincoats, whatnot. And then they went in, and the energy in the arena was electric before he even came out. So that was super fun to see. And so then I was backstage with him, and every time I see him, I like hold him, I hug him, I kiss him. I just say, oh my God, you're amazing. And so I take with me all the stories of the great Americans like you, Paul, who have such an agenda and you want to do so much, so good for your state, and you want to make America better. And people who are just like emailing me day in and day out and Facebook messaging me saying, tell them we love them. Tell them to keep fighting. Tell them we're so proud of them. So I take all these stories and I just get backstage and I just say, you're doing amazing and we love you, and people are so grateful. And he listens to these stories and he's so humbled by all of the people that love him and that are so supportive of him.
Well, you know, you can tell he feeds off the energy of the crowd. And one of the things that I was looking at, and I've seen it in all of them, I've been to two of his events in Reno. And, you know, sunny Reno, I didn't have to wait in the rain. In fact, yeah. I had a press pass, and I just walked right up to the press area. All these other people away. They had several thousand outside that couldn't get in, and I felt really bad. But, you know, I had my press pass, so I could walk right. Literally, I walked right in and got a back row seat back there with the rest of the press, and was, humiliated. Not really. The people were very good-natured. They recognized I was not one of those kind of reporters, I think.
You know, you can tell, Paul. I can see the sea of all the reporters, and I can go, good guy. Okay, that guy's terrible. That guy's going to write. He's an activist. That's not a journalist. You can spot him. So, of course, they can spot that you're one of the good guys.
Well, I felt, you know, you could see that. And, it seems that what's his name from the White House, John Roberts, seems to be obviously one of the good guys. They don't seem to jeer him as much as CNN and all the other folks. And of course, when it was during the campaign. You had the press plane in front of the president's plane, and of course, all those Poindexters—they were Poindexters. That's really what they were. They all come trotting in with their little Apple computers, and seemed to be all white-shirted. I mean, same kind of people. They were the ones really getting the brunt of it. But, you know, it's very telling when you just even you can see it and feel it through the television and through the radio, the energy and the excitement.
Energized. Right. He's so into it. He is like, well, first off, you're 100% right. The crowd energizes him. He looks out in the eyes of these Americans like, you remember the hope and the change that Obama promised you? I'm delivering on them. Right. And then he'll go through just a little bit of his scoreboard and what he's done. And, I mean, he's just like, I'm doing it for you and you and you and you and you and you. And the place erupts. And he's an entertainer, so he knows how to engage the audience. Yet he's an executor, and he's doing all these amazing things and making our America better and greater and stronger and more secure and all these things that he is just – honestly, I was staring at him and I was like, I am so humbled. I am so honored that I had a small part in making history with this man right now, that these people would do anything for, do anything in any way, shape or form. These people want to help. And they're the reason that we won. And they're the reason that he fights so hard. And honestly, it is just a beautiful moment. I took a seat and I just sat there and I was just like, this is so awesome, and I get to do it again with them next go around. And but he is desperately saying, "Get out and vote, people!" And the reality is, Paul, you know, I'm a businesswoman, and I never had a political gene. I don't have a political gene in my body, but I guess I do now because I, you know, helped him win a presidential campaign where we didn't have a chance at doing this. So I guess I'm a political person now, but. He says, Tana, you know, well, how did we do so good how did all these people that are not doing well in their races right now, how did we do so well in 2016? I said, with all due respect, sir, you were on the top of the ticket. These people got in by default because everybody voted for you. Now you're not on the ticket. Now we have serious problems because these politicians now have to carry their own weight. Most of them suck.
That's right. No, that's exactly right. They have to carry their weight, and it's going to be difficult for them to do that.
Right. Well, because most of them don't have any credibility. Most of them aren't strong. Most of them aren't decisive like him. They're not the leaders like he is. And so at the end of the day, if they don't have Trump on the ticket, they're in trouble. So he's out here helping these people. And I'm like, you know, do some of your own work. I want to say to these congressmen and all these people that are running in the 2018 election, you know, get out there and do some damn work and look at how he busts his hump. Why don't some of these politicians do that for themselves, and then maybe we wouldn't be in this tight situation where, you know, the governor's two points down and the congressman looks like he's going to, you know, get taken over by a Democrat. Like, come on, folks. Trump's carried a lot of this load. Carry the rest.
Well, you know, they have a golden opportunity, literally, when the president comes to any state. And, of course, everybody out here, we're out in California, and the last time the president was out here doing any kind of campaigning or anything, he wasn't received very well. That's just sort of
right.
The organizational nature. Then, you know, dealing with New California, where you deal with all the rural population of California, which is about 18 million of the 39 million, which is a substantial population.
Yes.
The population that we represent would absolutely, they're going to be like Iowa. They're going to be like anybody else.
They eat him up with
exactly. And of course, the bad taint for California is you have all these activists, Antifa and Berkeley folks, and that are being bussed in and around and being paid by Soros and all these folks to protest.
Right.
They're the ones that are the disruptors. And here in California, New California, all the areas of New California, they celebrate Donald Trump in a big way. And this is just a little known fact that a lot of people, the press, the mainstream media out here doesn't want to carry. But we see it all the time in New California. We see everybody celebrating Donald Trump and the presidency that he's got right now. And they want to support him in any way. But we have our hands tied with a very, very corrupt electoral system, as you are very well aware, as I think everybody in the nation is. So that's going to be our challenge. We are trying to push as many candidates as we possibly can, especially in the House races here in California. We think, really, with this red wave and what's happened with the president so far, we think that we're going to gain seats out of California for the House. We really believe that.
I hope so, Paul. I hope so. We need a red tsunami to just, you know, we need that just to flush over California. Let's take California. Come on. I mean, California, I lived in California for, gosh, a decade of my life. It's the best state in the whole entire United States, in my opinion. Let's go. What the heck are we doing? What are they thinking? Come on. You know that this man is an executor of results. Let's go. Unless California's just tired of winning because they got such great weather. What else does California have but amazing weather?
Well, you know, that's the of course, all the advantages of California and everybody out here. It's really the great people of California that are being pushed aside right now by Jerry Brown and his policies of replacement by the population of illegal foreign nationals, which is, to me, just absolutely disgusting that he does such a thing, is that he thinks about replacing the population of California with illegal foreign nationals. But that's the reality check. And that's what we're having to fight out here. People don't know the battle lines, but they're absolutely crystal clear. And this election is going to be the time frame in which we can work, I think, in California and certainly New California as things go forward. Because New California is actually certainly the state of the future. There's no doubt about it. And it's, we're building. There's no question. We're building it.
And you're doing a great job of it. And we need to put an event together. I can get President Trump out there. Let's get a fundraiser going. I mean, he'll come. I just need people to respect this man. I'm not going to bring somebody that I love and respect, and he's working so hard for all of us, to have him disrespected in a state of that's insane. And I won't let that happen. That happened one time on my watch, and I said, never again. We'll never bring him back to the certain city because they disrespected him. Until they get their act straight, not happening.
Well, there are towns out here, there are cities out here that would receive him wholeheartedly.
And we need to make something happen. Let's get going on that, and let's turn. Let's have that red wave that we talk about come all over California, and let's make California a better place where people say, I'd love to live there. I mean, you don't need any more residents, but a lot of people that are conservatives would move there, but they don't like the fact that, you've got people in office pulling funny shenanigans and trying to overthrow what our president wants to do and the good he wants to do and how he wants to change California.
Yeah. And we like I said, there are large communities out here that would be more than happy to welcome the president at any time. And I think it would be a big bolstering, especially in the Central Valley, because you've got a lot of races down, in the Central Valley that are very, very critical. You got Kevin McCarthy and you got Devin Nunez in particular. Those are races that are big ones. And then, of course, you got Young Kim down in North Orange County being challenged in a big way. Of course, the whole Orange County area, they say it's kind of really going to go blue, but I don't think so. We were just down there and we had a great time in Orange County. Of course, I'm from Orange County. It's not as blue as everybody thinks.
No, it isn't. I'm from Orange County too, and I just had some great events with some fantastic entrepreneurs. They were all Trump fans. They were great people, very educated, very smart. All the love when they say that, we're uneducated and we're a bunch of deplorables. My friends, Sonia and Steve down in Orange County, they weren't. Were not deplorables. They were very smart people that I respect, and they had a lot of friends that were Trump supporters, and I saw a lot of people who support our president, and a lot of that in Orange County.
I think that we could definitely pull off one or two events in Orange or in California somewhere.
Oh, I think so too. But, and I mean, President Trump's one of the smartest men I know. Men I know. If not the smartest, actually he is the smartest. My husband used to be the smartest. and my husband is very smart, but President Trump is very smart, and he knows what's happening in California. He knows that the race is tight, but he's a smart businessman, and so if he's like, okay, I've got 5 hours of my time, do I give it to California and we can achieve this, or do I give it to, say, Utah, where we can achieve this? And it's really a scale thing. Right. Whichever one makes the most sense. I mean, he is the president of the United States, doesn't have a lot of extra time, and it's all calculated. So he'll definitely consider California if it makes the most sense for his time and resources.
Yeah. Well, he's got precious resources, and we would certainly appreciate something out here, obviously, then I think the people go nuts for it, quite frankly.
Oh, they go crazy. Yeah. They go crazy. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll report back to the campaign on what we discussed. And you know, I'm a businesswoman. And so the way I always make sense is let's make this a win-win. So if we can throw together a fundraiser of some way, shape or form, and the RNC can, you know, gain some money for the campaign and the Republican Party, you know, then that's a win. And so we make a bunch of win-win situations together, and then we throw the president on top as the cherry. I mean, come on, this is, here we go again. Let's keep winning.
Yeah, and it definitely will continue to win. What are some of the major things that you see going on? Now, let's shift gears to the 2020 election. The Democrats really are just self-destructing. There's no question about it. They're falling on their own swords, and they're killing themselves off. You have Eric Holder is coming out talking about kicking people and when they're down, yeah, and all that stuff, which is really, you know, pretty despicable on their part. But this is not unexpected. I think they're in the final throes of their of the whole issue of Russia, the whole issue of them trying to do the palace coup and all that stuff. And I think they're getting more and more and more desperate. The caution that I put out in the last two hours of my radio show is they're going to get violent, and we don't want that.
Right. Well, you know, I agree with you. That scares me. I mean, you know, that does scare me tremendously, because we've seen, I mean, look at what they did to Judge Kavanaugh. That wasn't physical, but that was a lot of emotional abuse, and that was terrible what they put his family through. I was at a Trump rally, just as I said, Tuesday, and you mentioned 10,000 people outside were in. I don't know how many people they turned away outside. On my way to the car, I'm not kidding, Paul, I should have taken video, but it was raining. There were six protesters, six people, mm-hmm, that had up signs that were protesting. And we were like all walking by them just laughing, like, look at what we just experienced in there. And there was just six people with cardboard signs, and it was funny, and we all laughed. And all the Republicans, all the Trumpers, we all walked by with grace and dignity, and nobody even said, you know, called them names or anything derogatory. We walked by just like, I smirked. I didn't even say a word, nor would I. Some people were like, go home, go to bed. But there was no violence. There was no up in your face. There was no kicking down their protest signs. There was no spitting in the face. There was no derogatory comments. It was like we were classy. We walked by and went, good night, God bless.
Right.
It does concern me. But you know what? That's why I carry a concealed weapon with me everywhere I go. Somebody wants to scare me, get up in my face, guess what? I'm armed and I'm protected. And right. I do not have any qualms, and I do not apologize for that. Now, I know that may offend some of your listeners. I really don't care.
Doesn't offend my listeners.
Pardon me?
Doesn't offend my listeners at all.
Good. I carry my gun everywhere I go, and nobody's going to get up in my face or harm me, because I'm going to protect myself. So I say, if you're going to be a vocal mouthpiece for the Constitution, for our president, or for what you want to see in the United States of America, you better protect yourself, because I'm going to tell you what, you cannot count on anyone else protecting you. Yeah. Now, do I respect law enforcement? 100%. Do I think they'll protect me? 100%. But I'm talking about, I just had an incident at a restaurant. A guy out in the parking lot saw me doing a video for a TV something I had to do later that evening. Man approaches me, gets in my space. I felt threatened. I ran from him, ran into the restaurant where I was meeting people for lunch, told the manager. The manager said, I'm sorry, there's nothing I'm going to do about it. I said, excuse me? In today's day and age,
right,
with sex trafficking here, especially in Iowa, because we're right off of I-80/35, mm-hmm, our interstate, you're kidding me, you're not going to do anything? The manager of the Olive Garden said, I'm sorry, there's nothing I'm going to do about it. I go, your responsibility is for who else he's going to bother out in that parking lot. He didn't want to do anything about it because he was a coward. Guess what I did? I called the police. Police show up. I tell them the situation. Tell them I work for President Trump. Something happens out on that watch, they're going to have to report to the president. So guess what they were doing? Patrolling the parking lot. Guess what we find out, Paul? That guy was approaching women in their vehicles, harassing women. After he got to me, manager wasn't doing anything about it. So guess what? The fact that on that day I didn't have my gun because I brought a small purse. My mistake. Never going to happen again.
Yeah.
So we can't count on somebody else taking care of us. Protect yourself. Anybody wants to get violent? Well, guess what? They're going to get stuck on the watch.
Yeah, hang on, Tana. I think we got a little communication problem. We're going to run some commercials and come back, and we're going to talk to Tana Gertz and also take some of your calls, 215-867-8255. We'll be right back.
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-600-5860. That's 800-600-5860. 800-600-5860.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-5095 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-5095. Again, that's 800-711-5095.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night, or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented MyPillow. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer, to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. We've got got a bunch of things going on right now. We're talking to Tana Gertz, and she is with the Trump campaign. And she's from Iowa. And Hey Tana, HEYTANNA.com is her website. She's been with the Trump campaign in 2016, running basically the Iowa campaign. And then she's going to be with the Trump campaign in 2020. We're talking about all the things going on out here in California, New California, and a whole bunch of other things. And Tana, we have someone on line one. Can we take the call with you?
Of course, absolutely.
Okay. We have Dane, who I think you know, with us here on line one. Dane, are you there?
I'm here, Paul.
Awesome. Okay, so we've got both of you together. And you have a question for Tana. I think you guys know each other.
Yes. Hi, Dane.
Yes, we do.
Thanks for calling in.
I've had the great... Hi, Tana. I had the great pleasure and honor of... You know, one thing about Tana... she can take the message and the spirit and the motivation and inspiration of Trump and deliver that down to the front line, the people on the street. And that's what's so great about Tana, because she delivers that to people like myself. So we on the street, on who are working the front lines, as I call them, the street Marines, can go out there and deliver that to the people that are working out there and deliver that message. She's just so great at that. And I just want to know, Tana, when is President Trump going to bring you back? I hope sooner, better than later.
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, thank you, Dane. And I want to also thank you for everything that you've done for us, not just on the 2016 election, but what you are continuing to do, because without people like you, we don't win. And we aren't tired of winning yet, as you know. So thank you for everything that you do. I appreciate that you understand my value and my role. I am working hard just like you are, just because we need him so bad. And he is working so great, doing such great things and working so hard for us. So I have been asked to come back to work on the 2020 campaign. They are going to bring me back full time, I believe, right after the midterm. So I hope to get a call the very next day. And so, you know, it's really like less than a month away. And then I'll be back at it full time. And then I'll be, you know, doing exactly what I said to Paul I would do, is suggest things like advising the president where he should go, what he should talk about, what the farmers want to know, what, you know, what the women want to know, what the college schools need to know, you know, things like that, that I can be influential in helping him know from the people like yourself on the streets doing the hard work, and also relaying the message to him that you all love him and you're working hard for him, and however you can help, you will. So he trusts me. And that's a really good thing, because President Trump doesn't trust a lot of people. But we have a 13-year relationship where this isn't something that just happened overnight or during the 16 election. This is a 13-year relationship that he loves me, he trusts me, I love him, and I will not let anyone backstab him. And I'm very, very loyal to this man, and he knows it. So I'm very happy for that, and I thank you for the kind words you said about me.
You know, Dane, I wanted to also, we were talking earlier in the show, and I think you were probably listening, about having, see if we can't bring Donald Trump out here for a fundraising campaign and find a location in California. We know that especially New California area, the rural area of California, which loves Donald Trump, set something up. I'm sure you would be really interested in helping out with that.
Well, I would be the first man to raise my hand to help, believe me. Uh-huh. And I know that California, the problems that it has, and, you know, of course, what you're doing, Paul, with New California, to make this place the new state, it's the only way it's going to survive, to bring New California. But by bringing Mr. President Trump here, he can help with that effort, too, because in turn, it's going to help President Trump, it's going to help the nation, because California is not going to exist as it is right now. It's just not going to happen. It's in free fall right now, as we both know, Paul, because we live here, and we're trying to do everything we can with New California State. And so I would love to see, have Tana talk to President Trump. There is a place, there is a time, there is an event that can be beneficial to all, like you said, Tana, we're all about winning.
Win-win. Yeah.
And this could be a place and a time that can happen here at the right time and place, and we could raise a lot of money. There's so many people here that are for Trump that are in these rural areas. People would be astonished. But it has to be in a place of safety, because we saw what happened in San Jose, and we don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
And I think President Trump's aware of that. Yeah. And it would be a great event.
I know it would. And I have family in Hemet and San Jacinto. They're huge Trump fans, supporters. They would get behind this 100%. And we definitely can do this. I will mention it to him. And like I said, you know, he's a smart man, and he'll weigh the strategy and where he should go. And we'll try to get something out there, because California needs him. And I'd love to see the red wave just come through that state and let California, I mean, California, there's a lot of people that think that, you know, they're all that. Well, they haven't seen Donald Trump yet. He can turn that state from blue to red overnight if he puts some energy and effort into it. It's just, once again, where is he better served?
The misconception is huge out here. This is a red state. And New California in particular is bright red. There's no question about it. 18 million people in California are totally underrepresented. And then we are getting calls, of course, from old California, San Francisco area, and specifically, they want to be part of New California. They want out. It's absolutely amazing what we're hearing and seeing.
That's amazing.
You know, there's only so much we can do. We've determined that we're going to be rural versus urban, so that's going to be kind of a squaring off. Dane, listen, I got to cut you loose here, buddy, and we got another person I'd like to get on.
Thank you for your call, Dane.
God bless you,
buddy.
God bless you, Paul and Tana, and keep up the unbelievable great work that you do for America and the people. Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome.
God bless you.
Okay, we've got another person here, and let's see if we get this going on here. Michael, is it Michael? Are you with us? Is it Michael Shelley?
No, it's Liz.
Oh, it's Liz.
It's Liz.
Okay, gotcha.
It's Liz.
Liz Ritchie. I'm sorry. The name comes up a little bit differently here, Liz. Tana.
That's my husband. I'm calling through my truck.
Oh, okay. So they're calling through the truck. Anyway, Tana, meet Liz, and Liz is my chief of staff for New California. She's calling in.
Hi, Liz. How are you?
I'm just delighted to be calling in. I was also the Northern California Field Operations Manager for the top 30 counties in California for Donald Trump. So I am a huge supporter, went to all his rallies that he had in California, and I was one of the ladies in hats for Trump. I don't know if you
fantastic.
Remember that.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you
and
so
I started
much.
The chant, Lock Her Up. And so if you can imagine how big a fan I am of his, I'm like what you were saying. Every time I see him, my heart just is exploding with emotional gratitude because he's done so much.
Right. I know. And when they portray us to be women that are brainwashed and women that don't know any better and this and that, I'm like, no, actually, women that support Trump are very confident, very strong women, independent women. We're working women. We make up our own minds. And we really respect a man who's got some guts, who isn't a coward and a wimp like
exactly.
most of these politicians that we've had before us.
Exactly. I see the very thing that they say about Trump women are what the opposite that they are. They are that. They are
exactly.
told what to say, what to think, what to do. They speak the mantra. They don't have an initial thought in their mind because they don't pay attention to the details.
No, they don't. No, they don't. We're about results, and we're about winning, and we're about making America great again. And we have got the strongest man I know. He's not only the smartest man. He's the strongest man I know. No. How many men can take what this man has been given out? How many has been happening to him? How many men would have cowered after like week one, actually even getting up to the inauguration? There's not a stronger man alive, and he's our commander-in-chief. He's the guy that's making America great again. It's unbelievable, and we are in such for a treat just to see all the other great things that he can do for us. And if people would get the heck out of his way, he can achieve a lot more, and we can do a lot better things. But people are in his way, and he has to deflect and do damage control to even get anywhere. Can you imagine what his results would be like if people were out of his way and the media was on our side?
It would be an incredible wave of success for this country if they would just stop fighting. But they're fighting because of ideologies. They
yes.
are sold into a deception that hasn't worked any time in history. So why would it suddenly start working now? What we're watching is working. Why can't they see that what's working is how he's implementing the strategies that he's been planning for us for many years? I've been following him for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
But
no, this isn't like an overnight success thing. This is a man that's had his brain on this for years.
In California.
The whole
New California is the Republican mainstay, the breadwinners, the agricultural area within the state. They control the water. Those lands are the, where the water is running. And it is, if we were to take the state and create a new California, we take 18 million people and create a state and split that electoral college vote and diffuse all of the destruction that is happening in this state, because they have the power under George Soros, who buys our state and buys the politics in this state. I'd love to see him come out here. We have we have so many people. I told you I did 30 counties. I can tell you we would not be able to do just one. There'd be so many people that would want to come and see him. It's an incredible opportunity for him to show California is not a blue state. We are really a red state overridden by corrupt voting policies in this state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they hadn't seen anybody with the power, the willpower, the stamina as Donald Trump. You're right. You are a red state. As I said, I was just down in Orange County. All my friends, my family were all, you know, Republicans. It's a very much a Trump state. However, we've got corruption. Mm-hmm. Well, the reason why everybody's fighting him and the media's fighting him is they're terrified of him draining the swamp. And then all these people that are on the handout and these people that are getting paychecks for not doing anything, not executing any results, actually making America worse. He's draining the swamp and cleaning them out and firing people. They're terrified of him. But guess what? The media never made him, so the media can never break him. They just keep thinking if they try one more thing, maybe this man will give in. Folks, he's going nowhere. He's getting stronger by the day. This man is not going anywhere except for going down in history as the best president that America has ever had. Mark my words on that one.
Exactly right. You are just absolutely right. I can't imagine. And we have the same swamp dwellers out here. We have Nancy Pelosi. We have Dianne Feinstein. We have Jerry Brown, who is part of the UN and his global initiative. I mean, we are inundated with the swamp creatures right here. So we are part of this fight.
Terrible. It's just, it's a shame. It's like, come on. I can't imagine the most glorious state in the United States to live in. Folks, I know I've lived in 9 states. California's the best. And why? Why are they not all wanting to embrace this man who all he wants to do is make your state even better? Make your state
It's a minority. It's not really, it's just like you were talking about, those 6 people with their little signs out there,
yes.
Thousands of people walking by them. It's the loud minority. It's a few kids that are given money to go and create this havoc. What happened in San Jose, there's San Jose State is right there. You're in the same town as a college town.
Yeah, oh, I know. College
UC
towns
Berkeley,
are terrible.
The college town kids.
But here's the deal.
So
we were the silent majority, and we did it. We were the silent majority, and we got Trump elected. How can they do this to your state? They're smaller in number, but they're louder. Well, you guys are larger in number. Get louder, is my opinion. I mean, I know that sounds like, wait, we're doing all we can, Tana, and I know you are, and I know Paul is. But the people that are for Trump and for the red wave, they need to get louder. They need to get more visible. They need to get up front and center and stand their ground. They need to get Trump tough. They're not doing it right. There's something wrong.
There's a lot of people who are more vocal now. There was a time when it was dangerous to say too much. Of course, I walked around all trumped out and my vehicle trumped out and nobody hurt me. So I can only say I was covered by a bubble. The Lord protected me, and I believe the Lord protects Donald Trump, too.
And the Lord's protected me 100%.
And he said to me, he said, do you think we can take California? And I said to him, yes, I do. I think we can take them. It's the corruption in the voting system that is the problem. They're padded the votes. They're padding with more votes than they actually have people to vote.
Well, we had that. We have that in Iowa. That's happening in all states. It's like you need a leader. Like I was a leader in this state of Iowa that was like every person that says they're a Trumper, guess what? You're going to work for them. And I'll put you to work, and I'll reward you with prizes, and I'll feed you with pizza. Get off your butt and do some work for this man that you're claiming that you love. Are you a backroom closeter? Closet Trumper, like a lot of people are? Well, guess what? That you're not helping us if you're a closeter. I need you out, and I need you vocal. And if you're afraid, then you better get yourself protected. I don't know what you got to do, but get out there and do more. I don't think your people are doing enough, because this is happening in every state, and we got them elected, and I mean, by the skin of our teeth. So let's get this done, California.
Well, I think we're getting pretty close to getting it done. And you know, what Liz was talking about is so true. And what we're finding out in this whole new California movement is it is a minority of people. And one of the telling ways that we're finding out is that, you know, we have a contact with, and looks like we're going to be finally growing out to 51 of the 58 counties in New California. That's, you know, either whole or part of these counties. There's only 58 counties. The remaining part is going to be old California, which basically is San Francisco, Sacramento, and Los Angeles area. And there's going to have to be some lines that are drawn to connect those. But the reality check is it's a loud minority of people that have seized basically the media and the political fiefdom down there in Sacramento that are controlling everybody else in the population. And I really think of the 39 million people in California, we know 18 million for sure are right in there for Trump and right with the Republic. They're red as all get out. But you have a bunch of other people that are being held hostage by the media and by these politicians. And, you know, clearly, if you take a look, if you start throwing the population of real Republicans and conservatives, even in the urban areas of those counties, you're probably picking up another 10 million people. So it really, the number of conservatives probably is more like 28 to 29 million, as opposed to the other population, which is really much smaller.
It goes right into what I'm saying, Paul. Your 29 million aren't doing enough. They're not loud enough. Let me tell you, in Iowa, the media hates Trump. My husband works at a television station as a tornado specialist, a meteorologist, on the air every day, four shows. He works in a Democratic environment that they hate this president. Every day, the news is what a jerk he is, and how this and how that, and he's terrible, and look at what he did, and can you believe Kanye was in there? It was all political and a stunt. They hate him. They're bringing him down every day, all day, nonstop. But guess what? We won Iowa. Guess why? The small, silent majority that I had, I worked them like Dane Sensor is working for you guys. You have to engage the base and get them out, marching, motivated individuals that are getting their voice overturned by the number of people that are getting paid. And I know, hey, here's the deal. They're getting paid or whatever, I'm sure they are, to be the anti-Trump, okay? Well, a lot of people like Dane Sensor and Liz and you aren't getting paid to do this for Trump. I was getting paid to do this for Trump. So it was a job to me. So my job was to make sure we won. It's a scoreboard. So if you have the numbers, there's no reason that we don't take that state. There's no reason that state is not red and welcoming the president of the United States. There's something is askew. Now, I'll have to come out there and figure out what it is.
I'll tell you. I can tell you what it is. And so listening, there's 11 counties that have been identified that have over 100% of their eligible voters registered to vote. One of them is Los Angeles County. They have 146% of their eligible voters registered to vote. You can't go over 100%, and we all know that not 100% of the people who are eligible registered to vote. That 2 million that Hillary Clinton claims that she got in the popular vote came right out of Los Angeles County, because they've got 146% of their people registered to vote. They passed
the voting. Okay, now we're getting somewhere, Liz. Thank you. There we go. Well, just so you know, The president's aware of all this. He's aware of the shenanigans. He's aware of the voter fraud. People were laughing at me when I was on television, you know, 2 years ago when he's like, there's voter fraud. There's registration voter fraud going on. Oh, Tana, isn't he funny? Oh, he's such a conspiracy theorist. No, he knew it. He knew that it was lies. I knew it was lies because Ted Cruz had a bunch of people coming into my state and pulling shenanigans. And we found it out, and Trump went in and cleaned house. Well, so don't worry. I mean, Trump's aware of all of this. That's why he's so adamant about voter fraud registration.
Yeah, that's interesting because, you know, now in the last couple of days, and we've been reporting on this, that this whole DMV business, this AB 60 that was passed here in California for voter, which is all of a sudden fraud is being reported by the California Department of Motor Vehicles, which is, of course, you know, a corrupt organization in and of itself. And here you have Alex Padilla, our Secretary of State. Oh, we don't have any voter fraud going on in California. We're clean as a whistle. And all of a sudden, shazam, boom, this whole scandal blows up because now all these illegal foreign nationals that have been coming across the border, they've been registered to vote through the DMV, and we're finding out, oh, they've made a lot of mistakes. There's probably, they say 15,000. Well, you know, it's more like 1.2 or maybe 3 or 4 million people that have been put in the voter rolls fraudulently through the DMV. That's what my sources are saying. It could be as high as 3 million.
It's unbelievable.
And it's,
you know,
pad,
it's like,
it's to pad for all of the voter fraud that they've been doing, the corruption they've been doing. They need people to fill those voter rolls because they have been corrupted. Their voting record, if you go back and clean it up, is going to show that they lied. They've been lying about who won elections and what bills
that's
have,
the thing.
Are we supposed
you,
to
they
count.
They can't win on their own. Like, Trump won on his own merit. He was doing 3 rallies a day. I know. I was with him on the plane. It's exhausting. He was out there busting his hump, winning fair. And then we have this where, you know, Hillary is staying at home and recovering because these rallies take a toll on a person, especially when you're older. Hell, I was 49 years old on the rally, on the campaign trail, stumping with him, and thought, holy crap, I've got a ton of energy and this is wiping me out. How is a 75-year-old person doing this, or a person that's, you know, in their 70s? How are they doing this? Well, he was doing it fine. He had the stamina of an athlete. She was all curled up, you know, crocheting or whatever she was doing. I don't know, but it's exhausting. So I see how she was getting some numbers. You know, if you have things padded, I don't even care if it's 100,000 voters. I don't care if it's 15,000 voters. It's still not fair. He earned those votes.
Yeah. Liz, final comments because we're going to run for time.
What'd you say? It's time to go?
I was just giving Liz an opportunity.
Great to talk to you. Thanks for calling in.
Liz, anyway, we're going to let you go. Go ahead.
I'm counting on us being able to organize a rally or a fundraiser here in Central California.
I'll have Paul give you your contact information. Girl power, let's do it.
All right, we'll do
it.
Okay, thanks, Liz.
Thank you. Bye, Liz.
Anyway, thank you very much for taking that call. That was a pretty interesting call. But this is the kind of stuff, you know, these are the kind of people that we have surrounding us here in New California.
No, and I love it. And I hope I'm not being too hard, Paul. I'm not a woman of mince words, and I'm not a person that's going to, you know, sugarcoat anything. Come on, let's get it, folks. California, are you doing your part?
Well, and I'm sure we will be when the final numbers are counted. Listen, tell us how we can get a hold of you again because we're running up against the clock.
Okay, I appreciate it. And thanks for giving the website a shout-out. However, you put 2 N's in my name. So it's Hey Tana. Yeah, and the second time you did.
Uh-oh.
But it's okay. Hey, so it's www.heytana.com. I can be found on Instagram, Tana Gertz, or Hey Tana. Facebook, Tana Gertz. And Twitter, Tana Gertz, or at Hey Tana. So love to connect with your people. If they like my positivity and they like hearing the behind the scenes, really the mind of this man, hit me up, follow me, tweet me, and I'll get back to you. But just know that I'm going to do my part, Paul, to get him to California.
Awesome.
And it'll be amazing.
It will be.
I'd love it.
And Tana, thank you very much for being with us again on Agenda 21 Radio. And I look forward for you to coming back
I would love
it. Future.
Thank you for having me. Take care.
Thank you very much. Tana Gertz here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, agenda21radio.news, and also newcaliforniastate.com. And stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.